Hello, everybody. I got an exciting episode for you. Today, I was talking with Duango AC. He is the Taskbot owner, and he is the representative person on GDQs when it comes down to Taskbot showcases. And he talks a lot about tasks, how they are made, and what actually the community looks behind it, and how much work actually goes into it. So it was a really exciting recording. Keep in mind that this episode comes out in two parts because we recorded for 1 hour. So today you will only listen to the first half, and next week I will upload the second half. It makes it easier for me to maintain my upload schedule, and I also think 30-minute episodes are far better to listen to than 1 hour episodes. So hope you are not unhappy about it, that it split up into two parts, and yeah, have fun with the episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another podcast, Speedrun Education episode, and today I have a very special guest here, Duango AC. I hope I pronounced that name correctly. Hello, Duango.
Right.
Let's introduce yourself right here.
I am Duango AC. I am Keeper of Taskbot. This here is Taskbot with his Awesome Games Done Quick Runner badge. Unfortunately, his badge does not say Taskbot this year, but we'll make sure we fix that for next time. He's actually playing Super Mario Bros. 3 while we're talking through this episode.
Yeah. So Duango basically is the owner of the Taskbot and is mostly the representative person on GDQ and other events when it comes down to task showcases. So what else are you doing on the speedrun scene or on Twitch, just to get the people an idea of what like your work is actually about?
I'm fairly multifaceted. So I am on staff as the ambassador for taskvideos.org. Taskvideos.org is a website that contains tool-assisted speedruns on a variety of consoles, everything from Nintendo through Genesis, all kinds of things, all the way through to the Wii, and even newer stuff is being made with LibTask and Linux. I'm also the keeper of Taskbot in the sense that I am the main presenter and organizer of Taskbot content at Games Done Quick charity events and other online events like ESA, we'll talk about in a little bit. I have good relationships with folks that do real-time speedrunning. I am a lot of weird things. I'm the president of the North Bay Linux Users Group. I'm an advocate for open source software and Linux. And I'm also a senior security analyst at Bishop Fox doing penetration testing. It's a lot of fun.
That's cool. That's awesome. So a lot of people might be wondering, like, hey, tasking, I've heard of it actually, but what is actually tasking? How does it work? And what was the idea behind it in the beginning? Because, like, I think a lot of people don't really know that.
Interestingly, it started with this very game you see right here. This is Super Mario Bros. 3 for the original Nintendo. And in 2003, a person named Morimoto released a video long before YouTube existed. He released a video that was released across a bunch of file sharing websites in Windows Media Video, WMV file format. And it wasn't annotated very well. It simply said Super Mario Bros. Time Attack, and it had no information about how it was made. And it had Mario doing the most ridiculous things, getting stupidly close to Bowser and getting way too close to piranha plants and getting 99 lives and taking seriously silly risks and still beating the game without losing a single life. And people saw this, and they were very confused about what they were looking at, because there was no information saying that this was made in an emulator with tools to slow the game down and play it in slow motion at the time. So that video was released back in 2003 and confused a lot of people. And someone named Bizquit decided that it would be a really good idea to make a website to, first of all, explain how this tool-assisted speedrun video was made, and also make more games just like it. And he originally called the website NES Videos, and later it transitioned to Task Videos as we know it today.
Okay, cool. That's interesting. I didn't know that it started with SMB3, to be honest. But yeah, it sounds very original that one of the more iconic games of the past is one of the first Task videos that ever got produced. So what
was there was
that
other prior art, like Doom. Doom had the ability to record, you might call them demo files or other words like that, but they were effectively a recording of what you had done inside of the game that you could play back inside of the game. So the concept actually dated back to the 90s, but wasn't well understood or really perfected much outside of the context of that game. And it certainly wasn't usually done with extreme tools other than the Doom Done Quick series that had come out around that time. So certainly the Super Mario Bros. 3 video introduced the concept to a large number of people and kicked off what we know of the task community today.
Okay, so How does a TAS actually get created? Like, what tools are we speaking of here? And yeah, how much effort is actually getting put in? Like, what is the exact progress of a TAS bot getting created? Like, even in the past and nowadays, you can explain both if you want.
So a couple different terminology bits. TASBot here is an individual, and he plays through video games on real hardware. That's a little bit step further than what we're going to be talking about for the next few minutes. So set aside TASBot for a moment, and we'll talk about tool-assisted speedruns in emulators. If you're inside of an emulator, like the FCEUX emulator that allows you to play Nintendo games, original NES games, inside of on a PC in an emulator, with that, you have the ability to do things like frame advance, which is pausing the game and moving forward 1/60th of a second, in the case of NTSC. You also have the ability to make a save state and go back to that point at any time you like. So you can make a save, try something risky. If you die or you don't like the outcome, at any point you can press a button and reverse back to that earlier state. And just keep walking through that until you have perfectly completed that section. When you're ready, you make a new save state and move forward. And you continue this iterative process as you walk through the whole game until you've finished the entire game. So an example might be playing the game Excitebike, where it's not a very long game, and your goal is simply to not overheat the bike and get to the end as fast as you possibly can. It's not a very complicated game. So you might start the process by figuring out how fast you can start the game from the start menu. And maybe if you press the start button on the 13th frame, it won't work, but if you do it on the 12th, it will work. So you would want to press it as early as you possibly could. Or, I'm sorry, the other way around. You can start on the 13th frame, but not the 12th. Maybe you'll start it in the earliest possible moment and make a save state, and now you have to figure out which acceleration method works best. When do you start pressing the accelerator pedal as it's counting down? You do try different tests and see what is the most efficient way to get to the end of the game as quickly as possible. And usually throw in a little bit of swag while you're at it. So, as you might have noticed, this eliminates human skill of reflexes, luck, memory. It takes out the mechanical aspect of a human. So you have infinite amount of time to do things perfectly without having to have twitch reflexes.
Yeah, so when you are, like you said, already like testing in the emulator, is it somewhat recording the progress as a full run, or is it just like,
Call it a movie file.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're right. It is recording. So what you'll do is you'll start the ROM in the... this is one thing I should note. I do suggest that you do things legally. You can get various different tools. Whoops, let me grab this really quick. You can get various different tools to record the contents of a game. And one of the best ones is actually this one right here. This is an Infinite NES Lives board, INL Retro. And I can read off the cartridge of a variety of different cartridge types. So, for instance... Let me grab this one over here. Oop. Let me try not to desync my game while I'm at it. So I have a legit copy of Dr. Mario here. If I wanted to, I could insert that into here. There we go. And now I can read Dr. Mario onto a computer. So I've taken the contents of the ROM chip that's on this board, and I've read it onto an emulator, onto a computer that an emulator can then read that cartridge. Or the contents of it. We can make use of it, I should say. So an emulator is reading the same contents that's on the cartridge, but it's doing it inside of a computer that you can set the state of anytime you like. You can start the game, save the state that it's in, go back to that point at any time you like.
So where do I find those specific emulators if somebody is, for example, interested in getting into TASing? Because they might find it interesting.
There are a number of emulators that are really useful for making tool-assisted speedruns in. One of them is BizHawk. It has a variety of different cores that it can do. It can do everything from the original Nintendo, Super Nintendo. It can do the Genesis line all the way up through N64 and even to a calculator like Texas Instruments TI-83. There's even newer stuff in there. They've been adding in... support for some pretty exotic material lately. there are other emulators for very specific platforms, like Dolphin. Dolphin will do GameCube and Wii.
Yeah, I know that one.
That one's pretty good. I mean, it's not necessarily easy to use, and not everything it does is perfect, but it's pretty amazing how far emulation of the Wii has come.
Yeah,
other platforms are so impossible to work with that there aren't even emulators at all, let alone emulators with tool-assisted speedrun capability. So one of the best emulators I like working with and that I suggest people start with is FCEUX. It's very stable, it's well-known, it's quite mature at this point, and it emulates the Nintendo Entertainment System. The run that you're seeing played back here of Super Mario Bros. 3 was made in FCEUX. It's very capable and very powerful.
Okay, sweet. So you just said it that not every game has an or not every console has an emulator yet. So does that mean that not every game is TASable yet? So basically only older games are TASable, if that's correct?
It's hit and miss. We demonstrated in January the ability to do tool-assisted speedrun techniques on a real unmodified Nintendo Switch, simply by feeding controller port input through it. And it was a pretty novel approach. But there's no emulator available for the Switch, at least in the form that we would need it to make a real tool-assisted speedrun. For other consoles that are much older, they're sometimes very difficult to emulate. For instance, the Sega Saturn is notorious for being extremely difficult because of its architecture. And the PlayStation 2, likewise, with its emotion engine, is very, very difficult to accurately emulate. So even getting a PS2 emulator to work right is a pain, let alone getting one with tool-assisted speedrun techniques and tools and accuracy enough to make it worthwhile. That is a holy grail that will probably take quite a while to work out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Other systems are much easier to emulate, especially, say, the Nintendo Wii. It had a well-understood architecture, and Dolphin, as we discussed just a little bit ago, can do a pretty good job of emulating it. So it's kind of hit and miss. Even though a console is older, it doesn't necessarily mean it has good emulator support. A good example of that is the Nintendo emulator the Nintendo emulator scene is much more mature and has much better, what's the right word for it? It has a whole lot better reliability and accuracy than, say, Sega Genesis. The Sega Genesis is not nearly as accurate as far as emulation is concerned.
So when you're TASing, you're basically just feeding, like, I saw a screenshot that, like, in a TAS, you can, like, basically write code to just give inputs for a frame perfect, or is it you literally sit in front of an emulator with a controller and you just do frame advance and then press the inputs? Like, how exactly does the making of progress look like from a TAS maker?
In most cases, what you're actually doing is almost like using a corded keyboard. So think of it this way. Super Mario Bros. 3, let's pick on that for a moment. You start at the beginning of the level, and you want to run right for great justice. And that's a pretty common theme. In this case, it's kind of mirrored on me because Discord. But in effect, you want to hold down the run button, which you can see right here. You can see almost always this controller has had the buttons replaced with lights. So as he starts this level here, as soon as he starts, you'll see he's almost always going to be holding B to run nearly the whole time. And, well, in this case, he's pressing right and left because he's just dinking around in a level after he was waiting for it to complete. But so you might be holding B and right at the same time, like you see here, and occasionally jumping. What you would end up doing in an emulator is you would pause the state of the game at the beginning of the level. And while holding down one button in your keyboard that you've mapped to the B button, and one button in your keyboard that you've mapped to the right button, you'd then tap a frame advance button. So you're constantly holding down two buttons to run and press right, and then you tap and release a frame advance button. And then you're running forward, you're doing good, tap, 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 and eventually when you get to an enemy you want to jump over. So now you're holding on a third button, which is the A button to make Mario jump. Now you're tap, tap, tap. Now you realize you need to stop jumping or you're going to hit a coin block above you. So you release the jump button and tap, 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 and frame advance more. So you just keep going through this process iteratively of advancing one frame at a time. And at any point, if you don't like what you got, you simply hit another button you've bound on your keyboard to back up and try again. That process is called doing a re-record. And most tool-assisted speedruns will do that somewhere in the order of, I would say, probably 10,000 times for a longer game. 10,000 or 10,000 re-records is not uncommon.
Sounds very realistic, to be honest. Because, like, those tasks are, like, the perfect playthrough of a game. Obviously, it's not that easy to make it. And when I hit the re-record, basically, then also the movie file is also, like, just cutting out everything beforehand.
Which is a mistake that I've made before. And many people who make tool-assisted speedruns or movies have done this, where you meant to save the state and you accidentally hit load over the top of it. So most modern emulators will have a backup file that'll keep what you just did, and you can recover if you accidentally loaded over something you wanted to keep. You can usually recover it through various different means.
Okay, that sounds easy, like in theory easy. So it's not too complex. If you want to test an older game, everybody could basically do it if they have a working PC and an emulator, basically.
Yeah, it actually doesn't require a whole lot of effort these days.
Nice. So when someone wants to get into TASing wants to start with, you already mentioned TASbot.org, I hope I got
No, TASvideos.org, TASvideos.
Okay, there we
videos,
go.
TASvideos.org. That's a main website for making tool-assisted speedruns in an emulator. TASbot is the process of doing that on a real console, which you can see being done right here.
So when someone wants to start out, they should better hit or go over taskvideo.org and get started with it. Do you also have like a community tab or Discord where people could hang out with, where you would recommend to join in order to start tasking?
I don't have the Discord link for task videos memorized, but there is a Discord server for task videos. You can get to the TASbot Discord server at discord.task.bot. So just go to http discord.task.bot, throw that in there, and we link to the task videos Discord server in our rules. So in our rules and rules channels, you can get to the right tool-assisted speedrun oriented, hey, if you want to make a task, go over here. So okay, that's definitely an entry point as well.
So there you go, guys, if you want to start tasking. But actually, let's go a little bit further. Tasking obviously has a lot to do with speedrunning. Like, they both exist very well together. So what advantages gives tasking nowadays over regular speedruns? Like, what can we learn from tasks, if any at all?
Well, I would say it's sympathetic in each direction. So a lot of times, the real-time runners will develop a route in how to get through a game. And that route will be used to make the first tool-assisted speedrun. And in the process of making the tool-assisted speedrun, the tassers will figure out different glitches that can be triggered. And a lot of the glitches that were thought to be only possible in a tool-assisted speedrun often are able to be done by real-time runners. So the glitches found by tassers go back into the real-time runs, who then figure out better routes that then incorporate into a new task run, and it's just a wonderful symbiotic relationship. It wasn't always this way. In the beginning, when I mentioned that Super Mario Bros. 3 run from Morimoto in 2003, the problem was that it wasn't properly labeled. It didn't have a disclaimer saying this wasn't human effort, this was made with tools. And that lack of transparency, because of the language barrier, because it was made with Japanese, a Japanese website that had no English context, it caused some people to get upset because they saw this not as something interesting or unique. They saw it as a fraud, as fake, as cheating, right? Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, because of this animosity, there was actually a pretty big schism between the two communities. And one of the reasons that I came on site staff for Task Videos is to try to eliminate that and bring the two communities closer together. So in my position as ambassador of Task Videos, one of the things I'm trying to do is draw people in from the real-time speedrunning community to help them understand that we can provide them with glitches and find ways to play their game in real-time that might make them more efficient or allow them to save time over what their current route is or their current mechanism is. And even on the on that front, we've seen monumental improvements. Celeste is a good place to point out. Celeste is a modern speedrun game that has amazing people like TGM. Although the Tetris Grandmasters folks are pretty crazy too. But Tej is just a great guy, and he has incorporated techniques that were found with task tools into his real-time runs. we have a wonderful working relationship back and forth, and I like seeing those moments happen. But let's be honest, speedrunning is a different skill set than doing a tool-assisted speedrun. A tool-assisted speedrun requires patience, perfectionism, and persistence. A speedrun requires some of the same things. You definitely have to be willing to grind it out, to practice, to just keep working at it until you have all of your moves down, until you have all the levels and all the movements and your routing perfectly memorized, until you can just hammer out a route, a run, until you get that time you're looking for, crossing your personal best boundary and wandering your way toward world record category. It does take persistence, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot more leniency in the speedrun community. You might get unfortunate luck, or you might have one place where you die, but you still manage to get the world record because you had excellent luck elsewhere. Those kinds of things are completely different in the world of tool-assisted speedruns. When you're making a task, the expectation is there are no mistakes. It is perfectionism taken to its nth degree, because you have an infinite number of chances to go back and try again. There's no concept of single segment here. It's always as many segments as you need.
Yeah. Every jump is basically a segment in that sense.
It can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, there are many movies on taskvideos.org that are published that have more re-record counts than they have frames.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, it just shows. I mean, otherwise you won't be able to see these awesome tasks. It's like every task I've been watching till now is like totally mind-blowing. And that shows like why, because it's like unrealistically perfectly played till that point.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just mentioned Celeste, and I'm obviously also a Celeste speedrunner, so I love that example. That like back in the day, the task bot, I think the earlier task bots are now slower than the current world record, as far as I know. So
I think you mean that the earlier tasks are slower than the current world record.
Did I say it the other way around?
Well, TaskBot is an individual that plays back runs on real hardware. The old TASs, yeah. Oh, the only reason they have to be distinct about them is, I know this sounds hilarious, but there's so much miscommunication and misunderstanding of the difference between what's being done in an emulator and what's being done in real hardware. Because TaskBot is really just a player piano. He is playing back a predefined sequence of button presses made by a TAS author in an emulator. He's just playing those sequence of button presses back on the real console. So it's definitely related, but they're certainly different things. So I think what you were trying to say there is that you've seen earlier tasks that have just been completely obsoleted by newer real-time runs, and then the task catches up and just goes back and forth.
The tasks nowadays, the tasks like are way ahead of us, obviously, because people figured out movement I think no human will ever be able to do. But you know, you never know. Tasks have already provided a lot of new strategies. So one thing you mentioned a lot, and I think that's also like one entire topic we could talk about, because some taskbot showcases on GDQ have been quite a different run. I just want to mention, for example, Dr. Kawashima runs at GDQ from taskbot, or the Super Mario World runs where very weird things happen. So let's just talk about that if people don't know what we are talking about.
So the very first thing I did at a GDQ was back in AGDQ 2014, and I led a team of folks that included some really impressive people like P4Plus2, Micro500, who else was involved in that year? So many people. Adelicat, who is the main site administrator for Task Videos these days, had a run in there. There were some really amazing folks there. And what we showed off in particular was something by P4Plus2 where a game of Super Mario World, about 48 seconds into the game, suddenly starts tearing apart at the seams, and Yoshi's tongue touches something, and P-blocks get flung up in the air, and all kinds of weird things happen. And suddenly, instead of seeing Super Mario World, you're suddenly seeing the game Pong being played with Mario's head.
Yeah.
And what happened there was a series of glitches that we chained together in order to find a way to take over the entire console. So normally, a Super Nintendo plays whatever's on the cartridge. In our case, we forced it to read the controller button address for what to execute next, and we took complete control of the entire console and did what we wanted with the sprite assets that were still left in memory. So that allowed P4Plus2 to create It was Master June. It was Master June that did the actual Pong and Snake. So the discovery of the way to take control of the game was by P4+2. The actual Pong and Snake implementation was Master June.
Okay.
So, sorry, it's a few years ago now.
Yeah, don't worry.
So, and really, there's so many brilliant minds that have been involved. I'm just the presenter and organizer in most cases. I have had very few of my own tool-assisted speedrun games shown at GDQ or other events. Most of this is made by other people who are far smarter than me.
So how does it work that you actually, like, break the game to make it play a totally different game by that mean?
Well, let's talk about Super Mario World again, because there's some really interesting things that happen. If you're interested in the details of how this works, I highly recommend a video made by Dots Are Cool. You can go find Dots Are Cool's video on his YouTube channel. He breaks down in great detail how the object attribute map of the Super Nintendo works and how it is used in Super Mario World to track the objects in the game, Koopa shells and various other sprites that need to be handled. And by organizing those sprites into a specific pattern and triggering a glitch that forces the game to execute that as code, in other words, forcing the game to run as code what was supposed to just be numbers in memory, it allows us to bootstrap our way up to the point where we are now telling the CPU, the 6500-based CPU on the Super Nintendo, what to do. We've now hijacked control of the game away from the cartridge, and we've given it to ourselves. And from there, we can do whatever we like, including some really ridiculous hijinks. In one notable example called Pokemon Plays Twitch, which was a play on the Twitch Plays Pokemon concept, we started playing the game Pokemon Red in a Super Game Boy, which was inside of a Super Nintendo. We took total control of all three of them and proceeded to display Twitch chat on a Super Nintendo.
I remember that. That was... are we talking about the thing where, like, basically Twitch chat was, like, controlling the entire game and we tried to beat the game through that on an actual Twitch channel?
So that was Twitch Plays Pokemon.
Yeah.
We did the exact opposite. We did Pokemon Plays Twitch, where we had a Super Nintendo join the Twitch chat channel and then had Red, the character in the game, harassing people in chat. Although it was scrolling by so fast that it was impossible to see. What you actually saw on screen was people in Twitch chat saying, "Hi, Mom," so they could get their text shown up on the Super Nintendo screen.
Yeah. That's... I don't know how you guys come up with this, but this is, like, always so crazy to see what we can do with games nowadays. Like, it's, like, a complete own... How to say it? It's its own... rules, its own physics, its own chemistry, basically, at this point, that, like, most people, me including, didn't believe that was, like, basically done on a normal console with a normal game, but somehow
we sometimes have to convince people that we really did do it.
Yeah, I the first time I saw something like this, I was totally, like, when I was telling my friends about that, hey, they like, manipulated Mario and said, like, made it play another game, and they, like, everybody didn't believe me that it was not a normal console. I didn't believe myself, but you guys tried to tell me that, and somehow was a thing. Yo, everybody, I hope you liked this first part of the episode. I know it's a little bit of a cliffhanger that I leave it in the middle of the episode, but in my opinion, it's much more likely that you will listen to two 30-minute episodes in 2 weeks than to a one-hour episode in 1 week. So I hope you're fine with that, as I said, and make sure to check out the episode next week, because that's going to be part two of this interview, and he shares a lot of awesome tech in the second part. I can guarantee you that. It's like, yeah, he was blowing my mind, so make sure to check that out, and see you next week.